You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
A mic is on the line from Arizona, and we're talking a little bit about, insurgency and, the Bundy Ranch and how that applies, doesn't apply. I guess, your last point, you were saying that to occupy a building and be surrounded, Sun Tzu wouldn't approve of that tactic or technique, and we are armchair quarterbacking from the Pats, forethought. But one of the reasons we talk about this, Mike, is because we need to learn the lessons of the past, right? That's one of the most important things. What happened at Bundy 1 was incredible. People rose up, right, and said, no, we're going to stand with Clive and Bundy, and all of a sudden they couldn't hold it back. They killed a bunch of cows, right? They were stopped in their track by alternate media and the folks that went out there and stood up. Now, Bundy 2 was a little bit different, where they moved forward and then told everybody, come on in. And it was just going into winter. They had logistical problems, and they kept everybody from rising up or insurging. You know, I don't know.
Correct.
You have closing thoughts? How do we wrap this up?
Okay, well, you had mentioned the deal of about trying to examine these things and stuff. And in the military, we refer to it as an after-action review. After an operation, you review it. You figure out what went right, what went wrong, and how we can do it better next time. And that's kind of what we're doing right here and right now, because you see, in phase one of an insurgency, the incipient part is that's where you organize, you develop your leadership, and you have your planning. And one of the things that I see frequently in this Patriot movement that everybody wants to make it up as they go along, and when we go over here, and it's good to have support. But sometimes we give the media the ammunition that they're going to use to shoot us with. People show up there instead of having a pair of blue jeans on and a coat because it's cold or something. Everybody wants to go there with all their body armor and all their guns and all their this. And then the media takes pictures of that and presents that on the TV, that these are sometimes type of gun-toting militants, because we've failed to set down the ground rules of what we're going. Now, I'll agree, the town is on fire and we need to form a bucket brigade to put the fire out. But the big difference between an insurgency and, say, a conventional war, because in a conventional war, the strategic terrain would be a bridge or a mountain or a city, but in an insurgency, the strategic terrain is the people, the population, and we have to convince the people of what's going on. And when the insurgency stops, is what happens is that the government doesn't realize that it's going on. Then when the insurgents move into phase two of the open rebellion of the insurgency, and then the government reacts, and they usually act heavy-handed, and they don't explain to the population about what's going on, and then the insurgents can use the heavy-handedness of the government as a propaganda tool to win over the support of the people. And if we think about this as a bar graph, okay, on one extreme side, you have the government and their supporters. On the opposite side, you have the insurgents and their supporters. But the big, vast sea, the gulf in the middle, are the population. And both sides, the government and the insurgents, are competing for the support of the population. Now, realizing that most people just want to be left alone, and they have a hard time with that, that the government just wants to make you follow them and do that. But over the years, the government has come to the realization that you can't kill your way out of an insurgency. So phase one of the insurgency, the incipient part, is where you organize and plan, because phase one must exist first, last, and always before anything else occurs. And you know, also as a sideline to this, that a lot of people, they hear insurgents and all this stuff, and they think in violence and guns and everything. But I can name you a number of insurgencies that haven't been violent. Look at the in Egypt with the Arab Spring. You had the Philippines in the 1990s with Marcos and the New People's Army. In Poland in the 1980s with Lech Walesa and the dock workers strike and everything. Lech Walesa eventually became president of the country after the fall of the Soviet Union in Czechoslovakia in the 1990s. Then the people realized that the government just didn't matter, and they were taking their TVs and putting them in the windowsills, and then they'd go out on the street and walk around because they weren't falling for the government's propaganda. And then they went as far as taking their TV sets and putting them in baby carriages and walking up and down the street. And the government response was to make a curfew that you couldn't be out on such and such a time, so you had to be in your house so you could watch the government-controlled TV news broadcast. And so the people just said, fine, you really don't matter anymore, and we're just going to go with our baby carriages and our TV sets an hour before your broadcast. So what it is, if you imagine this is like a tug of war, and all I'm going to say is don't pick up the rope. When the government throws the rope out there for you to pick up the other end on this tug of war, don't pick up the rope, because if you do, it's going to justify the government's response. Now, just imagine, say, for instance, we were in gym class and the coach divided it up against these guys and those guys, and you got a big long rope and tied a cloth in the middle, and the coach blew the whistle, and all of a sudden, one of the groups had conspired amongst themselves, and when the whistle was blown, your team just dropped the rope, and the other opposing team fell on their butts, and everybody laughs, because that's a psychological application of what's going on. And it's kind of like...
What would you consider, in our history, like the Bonus Army or Kent State, would those be considered insurgencies?
Oh, clearly. But I'm not so sure if they were very politically organized. It was kind of like, go over here and make this up. But in the insurgency, like when you say with Kent State, now, I'm not saying that all insurgencies, because I've already named you a bunch of them that have already been examples, but there is this prevailing mindset that somehow the insurgency is some communist purview, but it clearly isn't. But when we hear about Kent State and Four Dead in Ohio, there's a lot of information that was in the investigation of what had happened that seems to be separated from the image that wants to be portrayed. There were, the night before the shooting at Kent State, the communist revolutionaries burnt down the ROTC building. After the shooting by the National Guard, they had searched a lot of the people, and in their backpacks they found at least four pistols that had been recently fired, but we don't seem to hear about those parts. But yes, in the broader spectrum, the Bonus Marchers post-World War One and Kent State, they were insurgencies, exactly, and they tried to rise up against what they perceived as a wrong by the government, and then they tried to do something about it, whether they succeeded or failed. But those are like studies for another day. Go ahead.
Hey, really appreciate the call, man. You know, that was a lot to take in, and it's going to... Wow. I don't know. Thank you, Mike.
Hey.
You have a great day. Hey, gotta think that Doc and Jimmy are there with a lot of comments to that. One of you two want to jump in real quick?
Go first, Doc. Jimmy.
Well, right,
to Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm here. I really don't have a lot to add because you there?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. You know, I think the gentleman was right on point. I think Alan had a good question, but I like his analogies about, you know, don't pick up the rope, and if you do, when the whistle blows, drop the rope and let the other side fall on their butts. You know, I, as far as the Bundy thing, I agree that Bundy 2 was much different. But I think, like, the media made it look like they, you know, broke in this refuge. And at the end of the day, the building was open. It was in poor repair. They cleaned the place up. I'm not saying that. But they basically went into a public facility that was wide open and, you know, hung out for a while. So with all that said, I'm going to fall back on what I said this morning. If it wasn't for us having these discussions, I think the situation would be much different as we're speaking today regarding Bundy 1 and Bundy 2.
Okay, Doc. Well, I know you got some insight in there.
Well, yeah, there's a couple things. And Mike, I love your perspective, but I think what happens today, and Alan and I have talked about this a lot, is we've let them create a whole bunch of new definitions for words. And then when we use their definitions, we fall into that silly trap. Originally, insurgency was rebels rising up against a government or a monarchy with weapons to overthrow it. And they just changed the definition. And now anybody that spits on the sidewalk can be an insurgent. And then you break all these definitions down and we're playing their game. In the 60s, when the blacks went into the soda fountains and sat down, is no different than what when the Bundys went and sat down in that refuge, because if anybody could go there legally. Nobody called those guys back in the 60s insurgents or rebels or anything else. No, they couldn't wait to figure out why and solve that problem. But when you come all the way to today, the Red River issue, where the river has changed this terrain a little over history. The BLM came in and said it's government land. Well, they just lost that in court. And the Bundys, first they got their land and their homes kind of assaulted by people moving in that shouldn't have and taking their cattle and telling them they have new rules. And even when they went to the refuge, it was just like a sit-in back at those ice cream counters in the 60s. The only difference was back then they treated it like it was an issue we need to resolve. And nowadays they treat it like these poor people were evil and they were rebelling. But there was no insurgency. There was no rising up. Well, they just had a sit-in.
Let's stop right there for a second, Doc. During that time at Bundy 1, everybody had gone over to the Bundy Ranch, right? A lot of people, and they were like, Mike was saying, dressed in camo, dressed in this and that. And yeah, I just feel that that's poor taste, right? That's definitely in my eyes, right? You don't go there in flak jacket to protect. You go there in human garb, or not human, garb that normal men and women wear, right? Your day-to-day clothes. But there was nobody in charge. Well, somewhat in charge, Doc. You had Clive and Bundy. It was his ranch, and the Oath Keepers were there to provide some support directly for Clive and Bundy. Then there was the other camp, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong as I paint this picture, but this is the way I remember it. Now, they did try to police the compound that all the volunteers had showed up and get the sketchy ones out, but it's a real thing of whack-a-mole when you have people that really want to, you know, don their gear, put on the rifle, you know, strap up and so forth. It definitely wasn't the the high point, but they lost the narrative. They lost the narrative because of shows like this show, like Jimmy's show. I mean, everybody from around the country was on it saying no, and they tried the narrative on the regular television. Look at all these militias. They're over there, you know, trying to take the land and the poor federal government, you know. But how do you change that? Where's the rope in there? You know, I don't know, Doc. Did I make a point? Did I get a point? Am I just getting off track?
Yeah, I think everybody would agree with what you're saying. But what I'm trying to say is if this was the 1960s, it was just a sit-in by a group of people that were unhappy. Well, bring it up to the 2015, 16s, 17s, and we've let them change definitions. And now if you don't like something, you're a domestic terrorist. Back then, you were standing up for something you thought was unfair. And that's the problem. We're letting them manipulate us by changing words, and then we try to, like, how many times do you hear people say, oh, we're not a citizen, or you're not this, or you're not that? Well, there was a time when those words meant something different, and I say we don't change the definition just because they want to use it against somebody. Don't play that game. And if things stay peaceful, I don't care how you're dressed. If maybe you're a deer hunter and they called you in from the woods, who cares? As long as it's peaceful, it's no more than the sit-in of the ice cream counters in the 60s.
I don't know. Anybody else want to weigh into this? We got another caller, and
we let them define the narrative is the problem.
Right, and by wearing crazy clothes, you give them the weapons to actually wage war against you. That's one of my points, and I get really frustrated at, you know, different groups and the different, and I'm just go, why he paid to wear that, you know?
Kevin, think about BLM, Bureau of Land Management, showing up like they were a SEAL team going in to take out an evil dictator. Talk about dressing inappropriate.
Oh, I know, but you know, Doc, these days the fireman dresses like that, and so does the guy that's going to save your life in the ambulance. That's garb, right? That's what they like. They like the military look. We've been conditioned. They're the authorities. It's sad. Okay, well, here's the universe telling me that I'm on topic. I've been trying to get to this one story about San Francisco for about an hour now, and I haven't been able to, and I'm still not going to, but we do have David in San Francisco. Hey, David, are you there?
Hey, greetings. Hey, I'm going to bet that you wanted to talk about Kate Steinle.
How did you know?
Well, you know, I've been paying attention to that case from the start, and they BS'd the entire world with it by not telling us that it was a ricochet. She was killed with a ricochet that was quite a bit off. You know, I mean, it was the DA tried to spin it that this guy was trying to do a bank shot with a bullet and kill her. You know, I mean, how stupid is that? And so they have spent vast amounts of money on something that they knew was an entire accident. So, you know, he was not the guy who stole the gun out of the car. It was laying on the ground in a shirt or something like this. So they BS'd the entire world and changed foreign policy, or, you know, got Trump to rant about foreign policy based upon a ricochet. It's so stupid, it's unbelievable. But yeah, but
no,
you know,
go ahead. Let's stay on this real quick, because
okay, sure.
And then we can go on to whatever you wanted to deal with.
Yeah,
I saw the Trump Twitter tweets, and I said, well, what the heck are these facts? And I did a little bit of reading. And we'll talk a little bit more. We got Dave out in San Francisco on the line, Republic of Texas Radio. We'll be right back.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, we're back. Short segment. We got David in San Francisco, and we're going to quickly talk a little bit about, what were we? We were talking about, I'm missing her name again. Was it Karen, David?
Yeah, Kate Steinle.
Kate Steinle. See, I didn't even hear this story until it just came up on the, whatever it came up on. I heard a little bit about it last week, and Trump tweeted this morning or something about it, and they have all these bullet points. Entered the country illegally, fired stolen Sig Sauer handgun into a group of people, severed the order of the woman to kill her, threw the gun in San Francisco Bay, got caught on video fleeing the scene. Watch a San Francisco jury, you know, acquit you of serious charges, mockery of justice. You know,
almost every word in there was a lie.
Okay. Well, I don't know this, but was he in the country illegally?
As far as the State Department's concerned, you know, this is always, they say that it's like it's an infraction, not a misdemeanor. That they haven't filled out the paperwork to be here. That's as far as the State Department deals with it. And this, the hot button radio hosts that have been saying illegal aliens, they're, you know, illegal if an infraction is illegal. But in terms of him, first of all, he didn't run. There is a camera that shows that he stood there dumbfounded, and he does toss it in the bay. I guess there's one truth in that. But yeah. There's a video of him, I think it was our local Channel 7. They got in jail with him like 2 days later and did like a 15, 20-minute interview with him. And if you watch it, the guy either is, you know, like mentally incapacitated, you know, like the R word, or if you were to, he either doesn't understand English doodly squat, or he's a metal case, because he confesses to it, and then he says, no, it didn't, it happened this way, and then he says it happened this way. He says he kicked the gun, he says he picked it up and it went off, he picked up the shirt and it was in it, and it went off. But in any case, the five re-entries into the country, he was always deported because he was either caught with pot or dealing, like a nickel bag or something. He was never a big dealer, and he was all of his cases were pot-related. And or he might have been sleeping in a park one time, but they always, you know, it was like, and the fact that it got to felony status was he never showed up in court, so they turned it into a felony. But, you know, they hounded this case based on a ricochet, and they milked it for every penny. I mean, it must have, I don't know, a couple of $100,000, maybe $1 million in local money, much less hundreds of thousands, well, probably millions, in terms of Trump's stupid tweets. I mean, this guy, Twittering while Rome burns. You know, we've got five Katrinas going right now. We got Houston, Louisiana, Alabama, Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
And Trump is screwing around, making sure that none of those areas get helped, while pretending that a guy that does a ricochet shot is a mass murderer, and we have to build fences. I mean, this is, you know, America got strong because people wanted to come here. Now,
another thing is, let me just jump in there. We've created a real hell in Mexico. And when I say we, sure. I'm saying the United States. The war on drugs has lots of problems, and it's all across North America. Right. And the drug lords are there empowered because we let them be. We want them there. We make a lot
CIA.
Of money off that.
Yeah.
Dirty CIA. Right. So if we would just let Mexico grow up into a prospering country, we wouldn't have these problems. Well, we'd have Canadians. We'd have the same thing. We'd have a wonderful culture. And I don't want to be a pie in the sky person, but I do have belief that those people could grow into a great group.
Well, they already are. If you get over here in San Francisco's Mission, I mean, it's, you know, there's prosperity out here. Of course, these super rich are moving in like piranhas lately, but I hear the music.
Yeah, you want to hold on to the other side?
Yeah, if you could. I had that other issue. You were talking insurrection earlier.
Let's do it. Republic of Texas Radio, 1-800-313-9443. We got some time for you.
Thanks.
Okay, be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right. Republic of Texas Radio. Yeah. What are we going to say? Hey, Doc, I know what I'm going to say. You had a little bit of comment about our dialogue so far?
Yeah. My thing is this. If the gentleman wasn't here illegally, this wouldn't have happened, and they wouldn't be mourning the loss of their daughter. I'm always shocked because I wonder how many times if he broke into somebody's home, would they finally say enough's enough? And people get kind of upset here because we use the term illegal immigrant, but cross the border into Mexico and be caught there illegally and see what they do. They're really tough. So the bottom line is, if he wasn't here illegally, if he would have respected the laws and entered the country properly, she'd still be alive. Accident, ricochet, it doesn't matter. And none of that.
If it wasn't a war on drugs, then he wouldn't be here either.
Right. And if we made the drugs legal, which I've pushed for forever, we'd put all the drug dealers out of business and none of that would be happening. So it's not about that he was a petty criminal or a hardened killer. It's about he was here illegal, and if he wasn't, this wouldn't have happened. And we hear this more from the so-called sanctuary cities, but I think if he was breaking into people's homes, it wouldn't be so much fun anymore.
Well, you know, we're a port city, and port cities get sailors jumping ship all the time. So I don't really, what you laid out had a whole lot of ifs in it. And you don't change foreign policy on an if. And as a matter of fact, the America used to be a magnet of freedom, that we were getting the most courageous people day by day because there were still tyrants and evil kings, right? And the idea that people would flee from you know, death because they opposed an evil tyrant, we were getting some of the most courageous people in the world every day. And the idea that we've been turned into this cowardly nation, we're scared of these people. No, what it's all about is these people are escaping evil corporations. It's no longer kings anymore. It's evil corporations that are turning countries into sweatshops. And if anybody escapes a sweatshop and comes to America and opens their mouth, then we'd realize what's going on. You know, we've allowed some of the, and I heard the word come up earlier about insurrection. There is a definition difference in a corporate war and an insurrection, because there are a lot of poor sections of the country, and some local jerk, you know, some factory owner or whatever he is, decides to create his own little private army, and he rounds up, you know, 50 people or 1,000 guys and starts handing out guns and training them and whatnot. Now, is that a corporate war? Who believes what? Is there a unity of thought, or is it just some guy that hires a whole bunch of guys, right? And there were books written back in the 60s. There's one called Ecotopia, where America falls apart into a whole bunch of different territories, and one's like a coal baron owns like 19 states, and another one's the agricultural combine or something like that. And they own sections of America. They're like corporate empires. And Ecotopia refers to like Northern California up through Washington State or something, where everybody says, "No, we're going to live on science and wisdom rather than fool errands and mining." Mining titans or whatever. Those guys, they've tricked. You're talking about Bundy. Bundy was like a welfare cheat. Wasn't he hogging like 600,000 acres for 25 years or longer for free? He wasn't paying America his annual rent for using cattle grazing. And he claimed that it was all his. And he was... Anything that America decided to do with 600,000 acres, his cattle came in and walked all over it. And so his, it was corporate wars. It's not, some great marshaling, wisdom that brought America together. And in the case of Bundy, there's no wisdom behind it. It's he's a welfare cheat, and he tricked enough guys into going out there to get on the TV cameras and stir up a whole bunch of other guys.
Well, I guess we're not going to agree on that one.
What's the wisdom of
His family had been grazing on that land for over 100 years, and he had rights. The BLM didn't even exist. The BLM isn't even part of the United States. They don't have the power to own land, and yet they do.
Are you claiming that a guy's his great-grandfather, what his great-grandfather signed for would be a perpetual contract that no other future Bundy ever had to sign on to?
And are you saying that immigration is a perpetual thing? Because at one point, this country needed people here. We were conquering it from the Indians, and we were creating a new country, even though we were stealing it from the Indians, the natives that were here.
It's God's green earth.
There comes a point when that immigration has to be cut also, because we are full. We don't need it anymore that much.
You don't need what again?
We don't need all the people coming over anymore.
Are you stingy with freedom? See, that's the thing that really gets me sick about this whole thing.
Free your own country. Why come here?
Somebody is stingy with freedom. They can't get
free your own country.
They're not. Ha, ha, ha. They can't get freedom.
Okay, that's where we do this. That's
the way I look at it, man. It's.
I know you're descending into madness now, and I'm just like, wow. Okay, bunch to drop them, Ken, Sam, whoever's on my board, and we'll continue on. And wow, such a great conversation can go so sour so quick. I really have no words.
I didn't mean to get that upset, Steve. I'm sorry. It's just
no, I'm not talking. It's just like
didn't ask my opinion. Let's put it that way.
Well, there was a time, guys, many years ago when the Bundys established this stuff, that a man's handshake and his word were his contract. And so it was established long before the BLM, and there was nothing wrong with what was going on, and they weren't greedy, and they weren't trying to do anything bad. And it is a shame when the conversation turns to anger because nobody listens in. But back to the very bottom line of this, if you look at this country, most of the great people that came here legally, and they went through the system. And that's always been a good thing, and we've always had open arms. What we don't have open arms for, and no country in the world is as easy as we are on that, is breaking the law and entering. So it's not about that. And the bottom line is that poor family in San Francisco would still have their daughter if he wasn't here illegally, accident or not. It's not something to get mad about or be angry. There's a simple if he wasn't here illegally, it wouldn't have happened, and they'd still have their family. And
yeah, those ifs, I go with what was it, Dave out in San Francisco. Doc, we can keep going back ifs. What we have to deal with is really facts, right? The fact is he was going to be deported, but San Francisco had a part charge on it, that so they transferred him from the feds to San Francisco, and then they dropped it and pushed him out the door. Now San Francisco has a lot of homeless shelters. There's a lot of places to sleep, you know, especially around the pier that she was killed, you know, 17 or 14 or something like that. And so they are tolerant of vagrants, right? And hey, I'm not knocking that, but I'm saying we've got to deal with it a little bit better than just having allowing people to sleep in the streets. There's a lot of problems that we're dealing with here, but just saying if he hadn't been here, he was. And if there was no war on drugs, he wouldn't be here. Mexico could have been allowed to grow up as a great nation instead of being a hotbed for, you know, gangster violence and CIA drug running while they sell it here in our cities to people, put them in jail, and then all of us pay for them to be in jail. You know, that perpetual cycle is annoying as heck, right? And it is corporatism. It's the corporations that are doing that, yes. You know, you got the prison industrial complex. But when we look at the individual like that guy, I don't know any of those facts. I'm not. I know something smells funny, right? And it's not the fact that they're obfuscating the fact that it was a ricochet. The fact that some Bureau of Land Management guy left his car door open and somebody took his gun, right? Huh. Maybe that guy shouldn't have a firearm. You know, that's just ridiculous. Was he fired? Huh? You lost your gun? You know, I don't know. I don't know who this character was, but he was left alone, dropped in the middle of San Francisco, just going, whoa, okay. And what do? You go do a job that you know. You walk down to the Mission District and you buy something, and then you go walk around and you sell it to other people. Hey, there's money for food. All right? That's the lowest of the low lifestyles in San Francisco. You know, supply and demand, and there's plenty of supply and plenty of demand. I can't see that happening nowadays with pot, though. Not in California, not in San Francisco. There's enough, you know, legal marijuana, medical marijuana, that stuff is just like, you know, passe. So,
Well, yeah, and I agree. The pot crime is silly. I'm not even looking at that. All I'm saying, you don't like the word if? Okay, here are the facts. If that gentleman hadn't been here illegally or released, this wouldn't have happened. That's the bottom line. And with all due respect with David out there, David, you had some great points. No reason to get angry. We try to listen to everybody, and we don't expect everybody to agree. We don't even want everybody to agree. That makes things more interesting. But don't let that stuff upset you, because we respected a lot of what you had to say. And, you know, we want everybody to have their chance to talk and do it respectfully and trust that we won't get angry at each other.
Yeah. Imagine we're just arguing about desert grazing rights. Is that silly? You know, it's like, well, they wanted that land for another purpose, so they took it back. I don't know. I'm not going to do any more Bundy right now. That's just kind of infuriating. You know, I'm glad they're out. I'm glad they're out. And I'm surprised that they're able to articulate themselves so well. Woohoo! Hillary Clinton. Is she back in the news? No, not really. But it is an interesting thing that's been happening lately with the, allowing the Hillarys or the Clintons to be thrown under buses, because for many years you couldn't even do that. You know, you wouldn't say anything negative. Now even people like the New York Times are, this is kind of troubling in itself, right? This guy named Ross Douthat, he thinks that Bill Clinton should have stepped down over Monica Lewinsky affair. And he's also saying that he and others have been wrong to dismiss Bill Clinton's indefensible behavior, right? And he has to rethink his thoughts about that whole thing. I'm kind of like going, wow. As a culture, are we that wishy-washy when we were running through the 90s? And Clinton was, you know, running around doing his thing as president. And, you know, all this stuff was out there. But now it's not cool to just be having an affair. I don't know. What do we know that is for certain? Because this guy's opinion, this Ross Douthat, his opinion is very flexible. And I think he's insane or something. Oh, okay. That's about it.
One comment, Steve. If Hillary Clinton begins to be put on trial for something, we need to be looking real hard in the background to see what they're trying to cover up, because that's like losing your king in chess. You know, it's real close to being done over with.
Yeah. I know they're floating all sorts of people for the next election, and you know, Trump's sitting there. I'm hearing lots of stuff on the street, right? What does that mean? You know, that, oh, Trump's about to be ousted. He'll be gone by the end of December. I'm like, he's right there. He tweeted last night. He ain't going anywhere. There's new tax reform, right? That's great. Isn't that stupid? It's going to be better. They're going to lower your taxes. Yay! Now you're safe, right? It's like the stupidity of our nation as they argue to be included in the army. It's like, yeah, well, I am LBQGT, and I want to be included in the army. What are you, an idiot? You want to go fight? Really, you want all people to be? Back in the 70s, I just find that that's just odd. Right, and they didn't want to be drafted to go over to Vietnam and die. And now it's a profession. Oh yeah, remember I was a vet, but then
Steve, they want to join the armed forces to go in and get the free surgeries. I mean, that's what I took from this in the last 6 months or so. It's all over the place. Once they get in, then they get, you know, if they want their Johnson turned into inverted, it's paid for by us.
If they make us do it, we rebel against it. If they kind of make it think like it's our idea, woohoo, let's go fight them brown people over there. They you know, took down two towers in New York City. Then it's a good thing, right? And we'll accept it.
Well, and that's how they intimidate us. You know, How can you be against someone that wants to be patriotic and fight for their country? Thank I mean, you. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the spin, you know, and somebody earlier in our call today, you know, the intimidation tactic and the overuse of, as soon as you stand up for something, you're guilty of hate. When all you're doing is standing up for what's right, what, you know, and this country is being deballed. I mean, yeah, and that's just where I get my gander and a gander, or goose and a gander, or however that goes.
But everything has changed. You know, 2001, you know, the Great Deception, you know, September 11th, you know, all of a sudden we're a war nation. 2002, right? You know, all the people were all gathering around and going, yeah, well, now we got to deal with it. We have to go into Afghanistan, right? But let's know that we have to start talking about going into Iraq. 2003, 2004, 2005, all the way up to today. We're everywhere. AFRICOM is carrying out operations all over Africa. All of that stems from 2001. We have more vets, more soldiers. Half our culture is the culture of killing, but maybe they want to call it freedom.
Syria just announced that they would allow U.S. drone strikes in their country.
And ask yourself why all these sex scandals recently. What are they covering up?
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
All right. Oh, I guess we're at the last segment of the show, and I see I have callers. Let's quickly get to them. Mark in Florida, if you're still there, we got time for you.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for squeezing me in, and I'll do my best to be brief. Right. We're arguing without knowing the facts and the supporting evidence. Bundy was not totally correct, but his remedy should have been through the state to remove the federal government out of the state. But the state is part of the swamp that has eaten us all alive. He had no right to that land, and there is no perpetual 100 years. How can someone that died 100 years ago bind me to act in any particular way? It's absurd. The government ceased to exist back in 1861 as far as the Union of States, and actually before that, General Tecumseh Sherman was a madman who sought to murder every man and woman in the South. He wanted to keep the states, he just wanted to rid it of the people. Our country's full of these madmen and profiteers and pirates, and we've got to learn the facts and evidence. And I wish, and I hope you would search down Michael Gaddy, rebelmadman.com, and have him as a guest. We need to know the facts and the evidence of our history, or we're never going to drain this swamp.
What was that name again? Michael Gaddy what?
Rebelmadman.com.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your call. I appreciate your point of view. I'm going to try to grab Mike in Kentucky for
enjoy
a second.
Thank you.
Hey, Mike in Kentucky, are you there?
Hey, I know most of the people listening, I'm preaching to the choir, but that last guy really needs to look at the materials from Numbers USA. We cannot destroy this country by just taking in anybody and everybody or the best and brightest. You know, that's one of the problems is all these immigrants that we need, you know, get these special visas, bringing in some of the best and brightest that would help the folks out that they're from, the areas where they're from. They need to bloom where they're planted. They can't come here and... You know, America cannot be the be-all, end-all welfare state for everybody that wants to come here and be free or whatever the Statue of Liberty says. It just won't work. There's 4 billion people or more that are living on less than $2 a day, which is, most of the Mexicans, I think, are living on something like that, $2 a day. So, you know, that last guy just is out of touch, and I think he's emotionally conditioned to support immigration without any...
You're talking about Dave from San Francisco?
Yeah, the guy that you guys had to shut off because he got all
whacked out
on immigration. Uh-huh. I mean, he just needs to take a deep breath and look at those materials and the sobering charts that this guy has. It's all 7 years old now, and I don't think that there's anything that's been done to really fix or remedy the math.
You see, when I look at that one, you know, me and Doc agree and disagree to a certain extent. When we talk about immigration, I see building a wall and keeping everybody out and going hard on that is putting on a Band-Aid. And I want to go at the root. I want to go at the root, but America's not strong enough ready to tear the root out, right? The inspiration of why they're coming here. And we're out of
time. They're going to come here if they think America's a great place to be, but it's becoming not a great place to be because of all this immigration.
Yeah, they should make Mexico great again. You know, it could be awesome. Okay. Republic of Texas Radio will be back next week. We're ending 2017, folks. How crazy is that?
Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.